First Samuel chapter 1. Praise the Lord. We're going to read just a few verses of scripture there this morning. Amen. Again, we appreciate everybody for being here today. Thank you. Thank you. Lynn and I love you all. Amen. Appreciate you. Thank God. And we don't want you to ever forget that. Amen. Sometimes, you know, you can get comfortable in relationships. Amen. And you can, you can love someone and you can just get so comfortable that sometimes, you know, you think that it's common knowledge, right? So you may not say it as often, amen, as you probably used to, maybe, or even need to. But I told you a while back, amen, that I want you to know that we love you, amen, and we appreciate you today, and thank you, amen, for being who you are this morning, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to go down and begin at verse 8. This begins to give us the story, amen, very familiar story leading up to Samuel, amen, the prophet, hallelujah. 1 Samuel 1, verse 8, everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And when she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on this affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunk. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Hallelujah. They're going to bless the shofar. We want you to give the Lord, amen, some praise for his word today. Come on, let's bless him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To you what the Lord has spoke to me earlier this week, amen, so very clearly. I want to minister on this thought: when heaven is silent, amen, when heaven is silent. Look at your neighbor and repeat that: when heaven is silent. Hallelujah, praise God, praise God. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us, amen, that when we have been born again, that we have been brought out of the darkness into the marvelous light. That means the spiritual darkness that had us blinded, that kept us from seeing the truth, seeing the need, amen, that we were a sinner and realizing that we needed Jesus, amen, that darkness is gone, amen, praise God, and we know that once we become born again, that we leave that darkness, amen, and we move into the light of the truth that Jesus is, amen, our Redeemer, amen, but it doesn't mean that we will not experience darkness, amen. How many knows, praise God, that darkness is something that we just cannot avoid. It is, amen, sometimes it comes in moments. Sometimes it is in a trial. Sometimes it is a season, amen. And I have told you in a week's past, amen, that I personally feel like that I have been in a season of darkness. It doesn't mean that when you are in a time of darkness, it doesn't mean, amen, that you don't know the truth. It doesn't mean, amen, that you don't understand or you don't know who the Lord is. But sometimes, amen, it is a season or a time that we are in. Now, sometimes we choose the darkness, amen. Sometimes we choose it, and that doesn't necessarily even mean that we have backslid or we have walked away from the Lord, but sometimes we just choose to, amen, be in darkness. But sometimes you end up, amen, just end up in a dark season or a dark place. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Am I the only one that can relate to that today? Amen. Come on, let's be a witness. Let me see your hand. If you understand what I'm talking about this morning, sometimes you just end up in a dark place. And when you get in those places, spiritually speaking, amen, it's sometimes it's a place where you can't feel God. Amen. Sometimes it becomes a place where you can't hear God. Amen. Sometimes when you're there, you don't see God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And sometimes when you're in that place or in that season, amen, you're not convinced that God sees you or that He even hears you. So it's one thing, amen, to not feel God or to not hear Him yourself. Amen, or to not see Him working, amen, but to be convinced that God doesn't see you or hear you, amen, then you can begin to wonder if God is even there, amen. Can I have a witness on that today? Amen. Sometimes you get to the place, and that place may not be a long-lasting, amen, mindset, but you have those moments and those times where it feels like that God is even there. Amen. And if He is, then this becomes, I think, the greater of all that I have mentioned. When we are in a place of darkness and when we are in a season as such, amen, it's not just, amen, that we wonder if God hears us. We wonder, amen, if God sees us, and we don't feel Him, we don't hear Him, amen, and we wonder if He's even there, hallelujah. But if He is there, amen, so when you know, maybe it's not the idea or the issue is not whether or not He is there, but then I think becomes something that is more common and more greater, amen, is does He even care about what is concerning you? Amen. So you may not be in that place where you feel like God isn't there. That may not be an issue. Amen. Because aside from the fact that maybe you don't feel Him, you don't see Him, you're not hearing Him. Amen. And it's not that He isn't there, but because there is no response, then God must not even care about what's concerning you. This is where the enemy can come in and begin to work, amen, spiritually. spiritually and begin to tell you and begin to get you to analyze and to go through that, well, maybe it's something that you have done, or maybe it's something that you didn't do, or maybe that is something really petty and it's not important to God, or it's something that is irrelevant, that is not even a factor in what you're doing. Amen. So when God is silent, amen, what do you do? And I'm talking, listen, I've been saved, I told you, since I was 15, been in church all of my life, been exposed to, amen, the full in the church all of my life, 60 years, amen. So, praise God, when you are in a place, and I've been there, amen, when God is silent, amen, and you just wonder, what is it that you need to do? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, when heaven is silent. See, we can look, amen, at the Old Testament and the New Testament. Amen. And between Malachi and the book of Matthew. Amen. We know and see that there was about 400 years of silence in between, amen, the book of Malachi and, amen, the book of Matthew, or the Old Testament and the New Testament. Amen. 400 years of silence. There's no recorded prophetic words or promises that were given from God. Amen. There was no record of God talking to his people. We have no record, amen, of God speaking to his people. But yet, when you look at the word, amen, and you go to the book of Genesis, amen, and I think in the beginning, over 8 or 9 times, we see the phrase, and God said, and God said, and God said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. So we see, and God said, and then you look all through the Old Testament, and what do you see? You see God speaking to his people. Amen. You don't see God being silent, but you see a record of God speaking to his people. Let me remind you this morning that he is a speaking God. I don't know who I'm talking to today. I don't know who is sitting here this morning, and heaven has been silent. It seems like that God, amen, is silent in your life. But I want to remind you that he is a speaking God. Only a dead God stops talking. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? He's a living God. Amen. But yet in these seasons that I'm talking about, amen, we get in these seasons where it seems like that God stops talking to us. You pray. You fast. You obey. You keep stepping. You keep walking. I'm not talking about being perfect. There's nobody in this building perfect. Amen. But we can arrive, amen, and grow to a spiritual maturity or a spiritual perfection on the levels of our faith. Amen. That we can witness and we can hear and we can know and we can see God, the things of God, recognize God. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So I'm not talking about getting it all right. I'm talking about, as we said a couple weeks ago, having your heart posture in the right place. Amen. Making sure that your worship is vertical and not horizontal. Your worship is not conditional. It's not conditioned by all that's going on around you. Amen. But even when everything else is falling apart and everyone else is scattered and running away, your worship is vertical because your source doesn't come, amen, from this around here. It comes from God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in me than anything else that is around me. Though I'm surrounded by all of my enemies, hallelujah, I am not overcome, because my hope is in the Lord. He's my shield, he's my buckler, he's my sword, he's my high tower, he's my keeper, he's my comfort, he's my refuge.
trouble. Somebody give the Lord a shout if you believe that today. Listen, when I ask you to give a shout, it ain't to make me feel better. It's to let God know, first of all, that we believe in what we're declaring. But it also lets hell know that as for me and my house, we are serving. As for me and my house, amen, 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 amen. So be it. So be it. If it's under you, so be it under me.
Stay with me for just a little bit. So then we ask the question, where is he? I've asked that question plenty of times in the last 20, 21 months. Where are you, God? See, I know he's there, but I want to know where he is when it pertains to me. I know where he is. Come on. Come on. The issue is not for me anyhow. The issue is not knowing where he is and not knowing who he is. I just want to know, where are you in this?
Come on.
Jesus.
Are you with me? So then we ask, where is he? So then, when you don't get a response, amen. You ask again and again and again. Isn't it funny? I listen to the kids, you know, the grandkids. Amen. They'll go to Haley and ask for something, and Haley will tell them no, and then they'll go to Connor, amen, and wait and ask him, and those two have not conferred, and it's not really anything that big of a deal, but ever so often Connor will say, sure, amen, they'll come in and they'll go to get it. It might be a glass of juice or something, and Haley's like, what are you doing? I told you tonight, but Dad said I could. So, you know, sometimes you think if you ask enough, and you ask enough times, that you're going to get a response. Come on, somebody. But when you ask again and again and again, amen, and you find yourself and you know the posture of your heart and you understand, amen, praise God, of being before the Lord, and still he doesn't answer, then you've got to ask, is he testing me? There's some things that I feel like God wants us to be reminded of this morning. We walk by faith, not by feelings. I said we walk by faith and not by feelings. Well, I feel soon as someone, when they come and they begin talking and they begin to open up and share with you, and when they say, well, I feel like, let's check it. Now, I'm not saying that the feelings are not valid, because, you know, we've kind of turned it, amen, even in the church, to where, you know, we shouldn't be having those feelings at all. Go home, because that ain't the truth. We feel. God made us that way. Feelings are legitimate. They are a natural thing. But when someone says, well, I feel like this, or I feel like it's like this, well, that's a feeling. Let's evaluate why you feel that way. What has made you feel that way? Who has made you feel that way? What did the who do that made you feel that way? Right? Whatever, and it's valid, because sometimes you can clear it up really quick when you focus on the feeling. Okay? But we walk by faith and not by feelings. We got to trust in God's faithfulness.
Right, absolutely.
That's when we got to trust in, if he did it before, he can do it again.
Amen.
And if he did it for me, he can do it for me again. Come on, somebody, are you with me? You gotta trust in God's faithfulness. See, I hear what's going to say. Our confidence in God. God, I don't if it was last week or earlier this week. I feel like it was last week, but amen, that scripture, amen, I believe it's in Hebrews. I'm not really sure. I don't remember. But it speaks about our confidence in God. And my confidence, see, our confidence in God is not interrupted by our culture.
Come on now.
Amen.
See, it's not interrupted by all of this noise that we hear in the culture, even in the church culture. And it's not interrupted. Our confidence in God is not interrupted by the circumstances that we see. Are you with me? Nowhere in the scripture does it say our faith has to be validated by our feelings. Your faith does not have to be validated by how you're feeling.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep. Like, nowhere in the scripture does it tell us that our faith has to be validated by our feelings. But it does teach us that our feelings will be informed by our faith. So our faith is going to tell our feelings, it may feel like that, but this is really what God says about that. So we got to inform our feelings by our faith and our trust in God's faithfulness. Amen? Are you with me today? See, how many has ever walked into a dark room? Yes, and everybody at some point? But you walk into a dark room, darkness disorients you.
Sometimes,
right? You have a moment of panic.
Come on.
Because you're like, whoa. And so you got to reorient. So now any logical thinking person is not going to walk into that dark room, amen, and feel that room. They're just like, well, I'm going.
Right.
You do. You're going to hurt. So we have to stop when we get that feeling, right? I don't hear God. What's this about? I'm not feeling confirmation. I'm not feeling. I'm not seeing any witness. I'm not seeing any sign that God hears me. I'm not getting anything back. So you have to stop and reorient.
Yeah.
Right? You get disoriented, and so you have to stop in the darkness and reorient.
Yeah.
Then you begin to validate what's there.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Then you start going, okay. Ever walked into a room that and you didn't know that it had been rearranged and it was dark and they moved something around on you?
Yeah.
And you stub a toe or bust a shin? Do you know how many times I've walked in this dark sanctuary, amen, thinking that I got it good and not paying attention? Get to that last cue, think I can round it, and right in the shin.
Oh.
Right, that the bottom right here. You see that? I've done that more than one time. I'm like, you idiot. I can be real transparent. A couple weeks ago, I was walking that way to go into the foyer to the bathroom. It was dark. And the next thing I know, I'm smacked right into that nursery door. What's up, y'all, myself? Then you're not mad, you feel stupid. I'm trying to make a point.
Right.
How many times have you done that in your season of darkness where you think you've got it all figured out? Or you don't take time to reorient and then bam.
Yeah.
So you gotta validate what's there when you're in the dark. I close my eyes because that's what makes it dark. We know our eyes are closed, amen. But can I tell you know that there comes a time that you adjust to darkness. Once you have all the light that you had before you entered the dark room, eventually you can see in the dark. But it's when you lose all the light that you had prior to entering the darkness, is when you have to. Are you with me? That's why I believe Paul said he could be content in whatever state he was in. So if in a dark season, are you with me? Amen? Are you understanding me? So we got to validate what is there. We got to figure out, okay, what's in this dark room? And then we got to begin to walk according to such.
Come on, talk right now.
Are you with me? So then we establish what's in the darkness, what's there, and then we start walking according to such. And sometimes when we're in this, we have to reconstruct our faith. We realize some things that we believed and some things that we held to may not be exactly what we thought they were. Maybe I'm the only one that's been there. But we have to begin to reconstruct our faith. See, we don't walk by what others have told us is valid. That's why oftentimes we stumble in the darkness.
Come on now. See.
Because we walk by what others have said is truth. But we walk by what God is revealing. And even though God is silent, he can reveal things in the darkness and still not say anything. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. I'm trying to finish because I know we need to pray and we got to read. So we adjust our sight. Isn't it amazing that when you walk out of a dark room, what used to be just common light becomes all. Wow, light. Now I can see. Are you with me? What was you just used to that light until you walk in the darkness and then you adjust and then you walk out and it's the same light, but you're like, oh, I see things so differently. Can I tell you, the light of the Lord will not ever be any brighter than what it is now. But your revelation and your understanding will make it brighter. Are you with me today? I'm talking about when heaven is silent. So we adjust our sight to by what light is there. We got to stay connected to what we've seen God do. Not what we're seeing him do, because at this point, it's zilch. It's nothing. He's not saying anything. It seems he's not doing anything. And if we're not careful, we can feel like he doesn't even care. So we've got to walk by what we've already seen him do. That's why I walk by faith and not by sight. Sometimes faith will take you on what you've already seen him do. But if you know his faithfulness and you trust him, hallelujah, you can endure. I need somebody to help me. Hallelujah, I said on Thursday, I don't serve him because he's good. I worship him because he's faithful. And he's faithful because he's good. That's why I don't have a desire to walk away because God's good to me. I don't desire to walk away from him because he's been faithful to me. And I can trust that. I can't trust you. I can't trust myself. But I can trust the faithfulness of God. So we stay connected to what we have already seen God do. We still pray. We still read the word. And we still worship. We still show up. We have the evidence of God's faithfulness in our life. So I've come to tell you right here, don't let the darkness silence your testimony. Don't let it silence what you've already seen God do. Because our worship is based on his worth, not our works.
Come on,
I said our worship is based on his worth and not our works. Yeah. Hannah never neglected praying and saying before God. Yeah. Even though heaven was silent, she never neglected praying and saying before him. Her faith and her worship was not dependent on what she saw, but rather what she knew. She would not have kept asking him if she didn't believe he could do it.
That's right.
I said she would not have kept on praying, even though she was in anguish and despair, if she didn't believe that he could do it. Well, come on, somebody. I believe he can do it. Hallelujah. I'm trying to finish. Let me tell you something. We will experience negative emotions. Listen. God is amazing to me.
Yeah, he is.
I had to talk to someone before when class first started, I come in and sit down and the adult class will land something. What is she talking about? Emotions. I'm like, golly, like, who knows? We don't confer. I had no idea. I'll never tell her what I'm preaching. I don't know if I ever had before in all the years told her ahead of time what I was preaching. Sometimes I don't know. But I said, I'm like, okay, God, I hear you. Somebody needs to pay attention this morning.
That's me.
Because we're going to experience negative emotions, but they are not a sin.
Right.
It's not a sin to experience negative emotions. It's not a sin to get frustrated. It's not a sin to become angry.
Right.
Oh, Jesus. It's what we do with them is what matters. It's what we do with those negative emotions is what matters. See, Hannah's emotions were real. She was in distress, and the Bible says she was angry. But she was bowed down and humble before God. She was angry, but she did not let it affect her faith and her trust in God. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. The Bible says specifically, she was angry. So here's what, when you're in the darkness, here's another thing you need to do. You need to bury your heart before God.
Yeah.
And stay before Him in consistent consecration. You keep on doing what you've always been doing. It's going to feel like it ain't doing anything. It's going to feel like that it isn't amounting to anything, because if what you, the consecration you did in the past mattered, heaven wouldn't be silent.
Well, see.
Amen? You wouldn't be in the darkness.
Yeah.
So bury your heart before God. I have been more stripped and naked before God in the past probably 12, 15 months than I think I've ever been in my entire walk with Him.
Amen.
In there.
Just stripped down and said, okay, God. Because it will be easy to become frustrated by the silence. Or should I say, the seeming silence from heaven. Let's look at Psalm 62, verse 5 of the Complete Jewish Bible. I'm about finished. They only want to shake him from his height. They take delight in lying. Wait, is that right? I gave you the wrong. No. Go to 6, because the complete, see that 4 right there? My bad. See that 4? That means it's out of sequence. That's verse 4 in our version. In the Complete Jewish Bible, it's verse 5 in ours. I need verse 6. I'm sorry. 62:6. My bad. I'm like, that ain't it. Here we go. My soul wait in silence for God alone, because my hope comes from Him.
Yes.
I wait. When heaven is silent, I wait. See, you've got to place your hope in God and not your feelings, not the circumstances, or even what others are saying. I don't care if they say it's the truth. I don't care if they say God spoke to me. I don't care if they say I got a word of prophecy and it ain't from God. Don't put any hope in it. If you don't know for sure it ain't, don't put any hope in it. Come on, somebody. This is our hope. Our hope is in Him alone. God may be silent, but He's never absent. Are you hearing me? He may be silent, but He's never absent. We got to put our trust in God's character and not what we see. And that's what Hannah had to do. You have to decide in the darkness, I choose to believe that God will do what He said He would do. Because He's always came through in the past. Always. Everybody say always. See, it was Hannah's perseverance, her faith, her hope, and her trust in God. Despite the darkness, she was so distraught. That she was praying and no words were coming out, but she was just.
Yeah, being there. This morning.
And the priest said, you need to stop drinking, sweetie. You need to lay off the hard stuff. That's what he said. Read it. And she said, Do you read the Hebrew translation? She said, look, I've been drinking no hard liquor.
Right.
I'm just so distraught.
Yes.
Yeah. And in such distress, I need to hear from God. Heaven's been silent. I'm in this darkness, and I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I'm in despair, and I'm here once again. I see God. Even when heaven was silent, do you have times she probably went to bed feeling like God didn't even care about her? He didn't even care what she was feeling or what she was thinking.
He does.
But you see what happened at the end? Eli said, go in peace. Go in peace. Whatever you ask, be it unto you. That's the first time she had heard anything on behalf of God. And that's all it took. Because she got up, she hadn't been eating, she hadn't been drinking, she got up, she ate, she drank. And the next time her and Elkanah were together, what happened? She conceived a son.
Amen.
You know how many times she went into that place, into their secret place, hoping this would happen, waiting, and then only to find out? No. But this time she went in because God spoke to her. Are you hearing me? And her faith was increased and encouraged. And God gave her Samuel, who became one of the greatest prophets, right? Amen. And he played a vital role in the coming in of the Messiah.
Amen.
He anointed David. David, amen, was the root, amen, from which Jesus came from, the bloodline. Hallelujah. So God done it. As they come to the music. I don't know who. See, this is kind of an oxymoron. I don't know who God is talking to, but you feel like heaven is silent. Right now, that silence has just been broken.
Well, hallelujah.
Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Right now, that silence has just been broken because God loves you enough to let you be here today to speak to me in the shower. Because you see, it was in the shower when he could get my attention. Amen. I'll be honest with you. Amen. I've been distracted the past couple of weeks. Amen. But it was in the shower that he knew that he could get my attention. And he spoke to me when heaven is silent. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. So I don't know who is in here today. And you came in and heaven's been silent. And you've been in a place of darkness. Hallelujah. The darkness may not be lifted when you leave today. But the silence has been broken. God has now told you, I hear you. I see you. I feel what you're going through. You may not come out of the darkness yet, but stay faithful and hold fast because I will show you what you need. Oh, somebody help me in this place.
I
got to mess him up. I didn't even think I could do it in an hour. Confess. But I don't know who you are today. But stay with me across this place. Just because heaven is silent doesn't mean God is absent.